Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Senegalese football star Sadio Mane, who scored a hat trick for Liverpool Wednesday in their 5-0 thrashing of host Porto in a first-leg round of 16 UEFA Champions League match. Mane opened the scoring for the Reds of Liverpool in the 25th minute when Porto goalkeeper José Sá failed to hold his strike. Mane added two more goals in the second half in the 53rd and 85th minutes as the Reds rolled on the road in Portugal in their first UEFA Champions League knockout game in 9 years. Brazilian player Roberto Firmino and Egyptian star Mohamed Salah scored the other goals for Liverpool. It's been a dazzling debut season for Mo Salah with Liverpool. This was his 30th goal in all competitions for the Reds. Last month in Accra, Ghana, Salah was crowned the 2017 African Footballer of the Year. For our Voice of America listeners familiar with social media, the hashtag TBT is sometimes used on Thursdays for Throwback Thursday. Well, let's throw it back to January 4th, when Mo Salah won his first African Footballer of the Year trophy. Reporter Samson Omale filed this report on the festivities in the Ghanaian capital.
The winner is Mohamed Salah.
Congratulations to our CAF African Footballer of the Year.
That was how Liverpool star and Egyptian forward Mohamed Salah was named the 2017 CAF Footballer of the Year ahead of his club teammate Sadio Mane and Borussia Dortmund's Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who came in third.
It's an honor to be nominated and be between these two great players tonight.
And Borussia Dortmund's Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
I feel very, very good and very happy to be here. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, maybe. I think this time, less pressure.
The 25-year-old Mo Salah dedicated his award to the children of Africa who wants to live out their dreams.
Winning this award is a dream come true. 2017 was an unbelievable year for me. I had a fantastic time with the national team and with the team to qualify to the World Cup after 28 years and to had a great season with the club, with Rome and with Liverpool. And I want to dedicate this award for all the kids in Africa and in Egypt.
The biggest winner on the night will be Egypt. This is after the Pharaohs were named the National Team of the Year and Hector Cooper, the Pharaohs National Team coach, named Coach of the Year.
I think everyone now is happy in Egypt and all Arab countries. And what we can say here, we promise we can do our best to be the honor of Africa in Russia 2018.
I am very happy for all the people in Egypt and the player, Salah, and all the players in Egypt, for questo premio. Thank you.
From Abuja, Nigeria, it's Samson Omale for the Sunny Side of Sports.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In the other UEFA Champions League football match on Wednesday, Real Madrid came from behind to defeat visiting Paris Saint-Germain 3-1. Portuguese star Cristiano Ronaldo scored a goal in each half for Real, the two-time defending champions in European club football's premier competition. The decisive second-leg matches in both the Real Madrid-PSG and Liverpool-Porto series will be played in Paris and Liverpool, respectively, on March 6th. For some social media reaction to Cristiano Ronaldo's two-goal performance, we're joined once again by my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Cristiano Ronaldo held nothing back following Real Madrid's comeback win. After the match, Ronaldo said, "People say I'm finished, but I score. They say again, and I score more. When will they learn that I'm the best?" Well, after last night's performance, many Twitter followers enthusiastically agreed. Some even posted video of Ronaldo's penalty kick and included comments like this one. "Wow, just watch this Cristiano Ronaldo penalty kick. Supernatural powers. The penalty he took, the ball bounced up before he kicked it. Is it really possible?" Another tweeter had this fact. "Cristiano Ronaldo has now scored 10-plus goals in 7 consecutive Champions League campaigns. No other player has done so in more than 2. Finally, one follower summed up his thoughts in a short, simple tweet. "Neymar, good. Ronaldo, better. Messi, greatest of all time." Let's move on quickly to South Korea, where the country of Ghana has made history again. First, Ghanaian-American Mami Bani became the first black woman to compete in the Olympics for Team USA. And now, Akwasi Frimpong has taken the ice in his first-ever Olympics and the first-ever for the country of Ghana in the skeleton event. In junior high school, Akwasi said he asked his coach what he needed to do to become a gold medalist. His coach spoke to him about self-discipline, and the rest is history. Leading up to this historic event, Akwasi went on Twitter and posted a video of himself holding his Olympic jersey number 5.
"Tomorrow, I'll be participating in my first ever Olympics. Watch me make history. Dare to dream. Lucky number 5.
And Akwasi has another good luck charm with him. He posted a picture of his daughter, who is with him at the Olympic Games, and he wrote, "Ashanti has arrived in South Korea. She will witness Daddy make history for Ghana on Thursday and Friday. She will never be afraid to dream big." Well, this year there have been lots of firsts, lots of historic moments, and a lot to be proud of in these Olympic Games. We'll be watching. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. Gwen mentioned how Akwasi's junior high school coach taught him about self-discipline. Well, the coach's name is Sammy Monsells, and Gwen says Sammy has an Olympic pedigree himself. Sammy competed in the 100 and 200-meter dashes in the 1972 Olympics in Munich and the 1976 Summer Olympics in Montreal, Canada. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. World Cup-bound Tunisia and Senegal are the top-ranked African football teams in the latest FIFA rankings released earlier Thursday. The Carthage Eagles of Tunisia and the Lions of Teranga of Senegal were also 1 and 2 on the continent in the January FIFA rankings. The Tunisians are 23rd overall in February, and the Senegalese are 27th. The Democratic Republic of Congo moved up 4 places in the overall rankings to number 39, and that puts the Congolese at 3rd in Africa. Rounding out the top 10 African teams, according to FIFA, we have Morocco and Egypt, who will both feature at the World Cup in June. The Moroccans are at number 42, and the Egyptians are right behind them at number 43. Cameroon is 51, World Cup-bound Nigeria is 52, and Ghana is 54. Burkina Faso is at number 57, and Algeria at 60, round out the top 10 African football teams. Taking a look at the very top of the February FIFA rankings, defending World Cup champion Germany is number 1, followed by Brazil, Portugal, Argentina, and Belgium. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Olympic competition can be an emotionally daunting experience, even for the most confident athlete. But in extreme sports, where physical danger combines with performance anxiety, conquering one's fears or working with them can be crucial to success. Take the case of the American snowboard cross champion Lindsay Jacobellis. At the 2006 Winter Olympics in Italy, Lindsay was just completing a run that would have won her a gold medal when she fell. Fear of repeating that disaster contributed to Jacobellis' failures at the 2010 Olympics in Vancouver, Canada, and again at the 2014 Olympics in Sochi, Russia. But as Jacobellis trained for this year's Pyeongchang Olympics in South Korea, she had the New York-based Denise Shule on her side. Shule is what's called a mental coach or performance architect with a novel approach to sports psychology and to living life at one's personal best. On Wednesday, the day before Jacobellis' comeback attempt on Friday in Pyeongchang, VOA's Adam Phillips spoke with Shule about her philosophy and approach.
My insight in life is that feelings and emotions actually matter, and they are the foundation of perception, judgment, decision-making, and therefore performance. So there's this huge opportunity in properly understanding emotions. And particularly fears and frustrations, the whole negative emotions that you're not supposed to feel, allows people to perform at higher levels.
So how does that work in sport?
So the majority of sports psychology is about becoming confident and setting your fears aside. Well, I would argue that when you try to set it aside, all that happens is it gets either distorted or misdirected. Everyone says suppress the emotion, and then what happens is the emotion ends up as static in your musculature so that it's impacting what you're doing, distracting from what you want your muscles to be doing.
So is this the case with Lindsay Jacobellis?
Sort of. I think in Lindsay's case, she had this event in 2006, and I don't think that she'd been guided to process that event in the most effective way. So therefore, on the subsequent world stages of the Olympics, all of those feelings came back. And, you know, they're coursing through her mind and her body in a way that distracted her probably mentally and distorted what she would do physically. And therefore, she wasn't able to perform at the same level at that venue as she could in any other venue.
So are you saying that the memory of these things was difficult enough, but then pushing them away took energy away from her focus and didn't allow her body to do what she wanted?
Yes, the memory's difficult. But if you think about what makes the memory difficult, it's the painful feelings around the memory.
I can understand why acknowledging your fear might help somebody feel a lot better and become more effective and a more well-rounded human being. But what evidence do you have that it actually helps their performance to acknowledge those things?
Well, the research shows that the foundation of human consciousness is in our feelings, and that we are always actually subconsciously predicting what's about to happen next on a feeling level. So therefore, if you work with your feelings more effectively, you're going to actually be making more accurate predictions about what's coming next. And I don't care whether that's you're a trader or Wall Street investor like I normally work with, or an athlete who's predicting when they need to take off for a jump. If you have streamlined the emotional response such that it becomes really a source of fuel as opposed to a source of disruption or distraction, then you can use that for focus and to improve the accuracy of the predictions that your brain is unconsciously making.
Well, you mentioned fuel. I know that this might apply, for example, in race car driving. I'm familiar with one of your clients having been a race car driver as well as a trader.
Yeah, I've had more than one client at this point. be able to say to themselves how terrified they are going through a turn, and they're driving better saying they're terrified, you know, they're getting through that turn faster. But the principle is the same. What are you feeling and why? Like, one thing I had Lindsay doing is examine what is the feeling. What really is the feeling? What's the right level? Is it panic or is it, you know, slightly concerned? And knowing where you are on that spectrum is really powerful. And it's so opposite. When I first talked to US Ski and Snowboard, I told them they could win gold medals with fear and anger, and the room, 200 people, burst out laughing.
Are they laughing now?
Well, we'll see. We don't know yet. I mean, snowboard cross is an insane sport. And anything can happen, and there's a million variables. But she's certainly prepared in a way mentally that she has not been prepared before. And it comes down to, you know, she's gained a skill that she didn't have before.
Is there some way that this way of thinking can translate into everyday life?
The one big way is there is so much pressure in the world now to always be positive. You're not supposed to be afraid, you're not supposed to be frustrated, but you are. And then you get what? More afraid, more frustrated, more negative towards yourself. Well, to not be afraid of those feelings is a huge performance advantage. It's a huge advantage to living life. The task becomes pulling them apart and knowing which ones are really about the here and now and which ones are like a repetition of whatever your life narrative is, or a transference from some other situation with a boss or a lover to this situation. But just being kind to yourself to allow yourself to feel what you feel and try to understand it, that in and of itself can be a big help.
That's Denise Shul, a performance architect and mental coach. And Denise was talking with VOA's Adam Phillips in New York. As we heard in Adam's and Denise's conversation, Denise has been working with Olympic snowboarder Lindsay Jacobellis of the USA, who is competing this week at the 2018 Winter Olympics in South Korea. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Winter Olympics are being broadcast on NBC television here in the United States. NBC also broadcasts the Super Bowl of American-style football on February 4th, when the Philadelphia Eagles upset the defending champion New England Patriots 41-33 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For both the Super Bowl and the Winter Olympics, NBC has featured this new Carrie Underwood song, The Champion, which also has some vocals by the rapper Ludacris. Let's give it a listen.
I'll be the last one standing, two hands in the air, I'm a champion. You'll be looking up at me when it's over. I live for the battle, I'm a soldier. Yeah, I'm a fighter like Rocky. Put your flag on your back like Ali. Yeah, I'm the greatest, I'm stronger. Bet my dues can't lose, I'ma own ya. Hey, I've been working my whole life, and now it's do or die. I am invincible.
the courage I possess through the drama. H is for the hurt, but it's all for the honor. A is for my attitude, working through the patience. Money comes and goes, so the M is for motivation. Gotta stay consistent, the P is to persevere. The I is for integrity, innovative career. The O is optimistic, open and never shut. And the N is necessary, cause I'm never giving up. See, they ask me how I did it, I just did it from the heart. Crushing the competition, been doing it from the start. They say that every champion is all about his principles. Carry.
That's Carrie Underwood with The Champion featuring Ludacris. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. American skier Michaela Schifrin was crowned Olympic champion in the women's giant slalom event Thursday at the Pyeongchang Winter Olympics in South Korea. Schifrin beat out Norway's Ragnhild Monickel by nearly 0.4 seconds on her final run to win her second career Olympic gold medal following her triumph in the slalom in the 2014 Sochi Olympics. Italy's Federica Brignone finished third to win the bronze medal. Thursday's women's giant slalom was staged after high winds and frigid temperatures forced officials in South Korea to postpone the event earlier this week. Elsewhere on the slopes, Axel Lund Svindal of Norway made history twice in winning the gold medal in the men's downhill. At 35 years old, he is the oldest alpine skiing champion in the history of the Winter Games, and he's also the first Norwegian to win the downhill event. And yes, I think Axel Lund Svindal of Norway deserves a Sunny Side of Sports salute. Finally, the National Basketball Association has entered a one-week all-star break. The league will celebrate and showcase its top players this coming weekend at the Staples Center Arena in Los Angeles, California, where the annual NBA All-Star Game will be played. The Houston Rockets are exploding into the All-Star break. They won their 10th consecutive game on Wednesday night. They beat the Sacramento Kings 100-91. James Harden, still sporting my favorite beard in basketball, had 28 points, 9 rebounds, and 9 assists. Let's also give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to my favorite NBA team, the Washington Wizards. They were winners on Wednesday night, 118-113 over the host New York Knicks. The Wizards came back from a 27-point deficit. That's the biggest NBA comeback this season. And in other NBA games, the Philadelphia 76ers edged the Miami Heat 104-102. The 76ers rested their all-star center from Cameroon, Joel Embiid. And that wraps up the February 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. In early February, the United States imposed restrictions on the export of defense articles and defense services into South Sudan. The United States does not directly sell arms to South Sudan, but the ban will prevent any U.S. company or citizen from providing military equipment or defense services to the warring factions. Exports of weapons and ammunition into South Sudan undercut efforts to protect civilians, and prohibiting the sale or transfer of arms pressures the government of South Sudan and the armed opposition to implement the December 21st cessation of hostilities and start to end the trauma and displacement that millions of innocent South Sudanese have suffered. South Sudan gained its independence from Sudan in 2011. Peace lasted less than 18 months. In December 2013, a power struggle between President Salva Kiir and Vice President Riek Machar erupted into civil war. The warring parties agreed to a peace accord in 2015 and to ceasefires on a number of occasions. All were broken before the ink was dry on the agreement. The continued fighting has cost the lives of thousands of people and led to a cutback in oil production, a devastated economy, human rights abuses, hunger, and malnutrition. The United States is appalled by the continuing violence in South Sudan that has created one of Africa's worst humanitarian crises, said State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert in a written statement. 1.5 million people are now on the brink of famine, despite enormous efforts by the United States and other donors since the conflict began in 2013 to stave off famine and save lives, she said. We urge all countries, including South Sudan's neighbors, to promote peace and save innocent lives by cutting off the flow of defense articles and defense services to South Sudan and to halt support to actors who are working to destabilize the country. We encourage the Intergovernmental Authority on Development and the African Union to consider sanctions measures against those who undermine the peace process. Additionally, the United States is seeking support for a UN Security Council embargo on all arms flows into South Sudan, and we urge all UN Security Council members to join us in supporting this action. The message must be clear. The United States, the region, and the international community will not stand idly by as innocent South Sudanese civilians are murdered.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
VOA. Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.